Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, well, let's bring things close to home. Listen, all God's children got an acronym, apparently. Liberals love to get them some acronym stuff and also to rename things in a way that just sounds sweet and don't worry about it. It's gender-affirming. It's not bad. I mean, you look at some of the stuff. You got CRT, you got DEI, you got ESG, just on and on and on. Well, one of them you may be less familiar with is referred to often by the acronym SEL. S-E-L. And it's in classrooms all over the place, to include right here in Alabama. Well, somebody who's been tracking this and tracking it well is our friend Emily Jones. Emily is the founder of the Madison County chapter of Moms for Liberty, the first chapter of Moms for Liberty in the state of Alabama. Oh, by the way, she just happens to be a new Right Side contributor with her new podcast, which came out last week, called The Controversial Mom, and she's on the phone right now. Hey, Emily Jones, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are y'all?
We are good. We're good. Hey, by the way, the podcast is looking awesome, and thank you for being a part of the Right Side team.
Oh, thank you for having me. I am enjoying it. As nervous as it is, I am definitely loving life right now.
Well, I think, and by the way, I'm just going to take it aside here. I think what's cool is calling it the Controversial Mom, because it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. I mean, it's really not controversial, but I love the fact that what it does basically insinuates is that to liberals, you're controversial.
Yes, yes. I mean, who knew that telling a boy he will always be a boy would be controversial? Yet it is.
Well, if y'all haven't checked out, all you Right Side ruffians haven't checked out the latest video podcast, the newest one in the lineup is The Controversial Mom with Emily Jones. So hey, Em, this you wrote a piece for 1819 News back in October about SEL in schools, and it started with you finding things on your child's Chromebook for school. Mm-hmm. Back us up on this. What's the story?
So I'll kind of start in the beginning, because SEL is a beast that it takes a lot to really comprehend, and I am still learning. But SEL really and truly it's social emotional learning, and the concept behind it is that it teaches children how to regulate and manage their emotions so that they can have productive relationship. So it sounds super innocent. I don't know anyone that would ever say, no, we don't want our children to manage their emotions. We teach them that as parents. But of course, it's how the school systems and the organizations around our school system determine what's appropriate behavior. So they're going to say you need to be open of all lifestyles and supportive and accepting. And from a parent standpoint, that's not how we teach. So SEL, it's very much usurping parental authority, and it's really putting ideas in kids' head around what is socially and emotionally acceptable when you're dealing with diverse situations. That's kind of it in a nutshell.
Wow. Okay, so basically they're getting woke ideology in front of kids. So what's the practical application? How do they get, I mean, how did you find it? It was on the Chromebook. What's the deal? How do they actually practically get this in the classroom?
So it's in everything. If you look on school websites, they boast about SEL. Like, they're very, very, very proud of the SEL program. So a lot of these schools that have the counseling programs that I know I've talked to you guys about a lot, it is nothing but SEL. I actually sat down with my district last week to look at the curriculum that they use in the counseling programs, and the first two sentences said, this is based on SEL. Yeah. So anytime your kids are engaging with a counselor, it's SEL. But they've also taken it a step further, and I say they. SEL is really developed by this organization called CASEL, and that's C-A-S-E-L. You can Google them. They've taken what was just kind of SEL, and now it's called transformative SEL.
Oh, good.
And that we've elevated. So now you've got transformative SEL that is truly integrated into every curriculum in the state. So, for instance, last year my son had a science project or a science lesson, and it was talking about clouds and weather patterns, and it was talking about tornadoes. Well, in the lesson, it talked about the emotions you feel when you're dealing with this, you know, very bad weather, tornado warnings, and all of that. That's transformative SEL because it is buried within your everyday standards that you've got to have, you know, for your education. So it's everywhere, but teachers don't recognize it because it's just there. It's just in the curriculum. So they don't even realize that they're contributing to it because it's just normal everyday stuff for them.
And isn't it kind of common for some of the technical, like the Chromebook, for instance, it's actually collecting data on kids. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, when my son opens up his Chromebook, and I assume that they're all this way, there's a whole section in the kind of the online library that talks about emotions. There's a little pop-up that comes up and asks them how they're feeling each day, and they have to answer that. So everything in there is collecting data. And that's the other thing with SEL is if you read, you know, just the basics on it, it talks about how it's evidence-based. Well, to be based on evidence, you've got to have data to build upon. So the schools are telling you they're not collecting data. They absolutely are, and it's coming from just these day-to-day interactions, even down to just absenteeism. They collect that data, and they use it to identify the graduation gaps, the inequities in our education system, and it feeds back into these SEL programs.
Okay.
It's really wild.
And there's a lot of money in it, too, which is what gets me. I mean, I saw some stories this morning as I was getting ready for today's show. Like one, I think it was in Minnesota, or no, Michigan. One school system got a $1 million grant most recently. And when I was telling you that offline, you said Madison just got one.
Yeah, so I'll find the information and I'll send it to you, Phil, so we can put it out. But a couple of years ago, Biden put out, it's called the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act. And it was billions of dollars. I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but billions with a B that went out to the states for various things. Some of it went to, you know, reducing crime. Some of it went to helping EMS. Some of it went to the education department. In the state of Alabama, our Department of Education got a huge chunk of money from the federal government for this program. I have done a formal request for that grant application. It's been 2 months, and I still do not have it. Wow. They're refusing to give it to me, which is a whole other issue.
Yeah.
But then I asked my school system, because the Alabama Department of Education sent out money. It was to 10 or 15 different school districts across the state. There's a memo on it. I'll send it to you. But from there, it lists out how much money went to each school system. So I actually got a copy of the grant for Madison City this week. I got it printed out. I've not read it yet. But, you know, it's a 60-page application, and it talks specifically about how they're going to use that money to provide mental health services in the schools. So no doubt the program in Madison City, to some extent, is being funded by the federal government. And you know as well as I do, the federal government does not give you anything for free. So what are they getting in return for this?
That's exactly
right.
There's always stringers. That's why you have there's about 11 institutes of higher learning around the nation, only 11, believe it or not, that won't take any federal. I know one of them is Highlands College down in Birmingham, will not take any federal dollars because they always come with stringers.
Absolutely.
Well, so, all right. Is there any way around it? Like your son, can he even do the lessons if he doesn't click the little happy faces that say he's sad or he's neutral or he's happy that day when he opens his Chromebook?
I think so. When I've opened it, I don't click on them, or sometimes I do just to mess with their algorithms because I find that fun. I'm such an instigator. But they can get around that piece of it. You know, the conspiracy out there, and I've not been able to prove it right or wrong, is that there's a lot of like eye tracking material or algorithms because they've got the camera. So I've always heard that they're doing data collection that way. So I, of course, being the conspiracy theorist that I am, covered his camera like with a little piece of tape, and he told me I had to take it off because they had to use their camera during class. So for some of their lessons, and I don't remember what it was, they actually have to do like a video response to whatever the lesson is. So they have to record it. So for me, that's pretty disturbing because are you using facial recognition? Are you storing his face? Like all the questions that come with that, and I don't have answers on it, but it's definitely one more thing I've got to dig into and figure it out.
Yeah, somewhere along the way, I would imagine they had you sign something, and buried in the fine print was a waiver of the use of your child's image. I mean,
yes.
I, I just, this whole thing is disturbing. And if we had greater trust in our U.S. Department of Education, wouldn't that be a fine thing? Yeah. Maybe they really will do away with the DOE. But I got to ask you this too, with a couple minutes left. You said in that article you wrote for 1819 that you pointed out Abigail Schreier, who's great. She has a book called Bad Therapy. And she says that this overemphasis on a child's mental health actually creates spikes in their anxiety and depression because you're focusing on it. I mean, you're triggering responses by, it's almost like saying, did you know you're cold, when the child didn't realize how cold they were, and now they're focused on being cold. You know what I'm saying? It's like they're forcing the issue of dealing with emotions when emotions didn't have to be dealt with.
Right. Yeah. So, my son's 10, like he's still very young, and I relate the thing, his day-to-day life. If he gets hurt, the immediate thing that I tell him is walk it off. Go do this for 5 minutes. If it hurts after that, then let's talk. Just move on and get past it, and you'll be fine. But that's the opposite of what this SEL does. It fixates on the emotions constantly. And in the book, it does a really good job explaining this, that people are just not naturally happy. You may be a happier person than others, but you're not just constantly sitting around smiling, thinking about how wonderful life is. That's just not normal. So when you start fixating on, well, how do you feel today? How did that make you feel? How about this situation?
Yeah.
You start to realize how unhappy you are, and then it does start messing with your psyche, and you do start feeling depressed and anxious. So it's really doing the opposite of what it claims to do, but we just don't have enough people aware of it yet to really start pushing back and saying no more.
Yeah. I think that this is one of those things where you look at it and go, can we just please get back to teaching math and science and stop dabbling in the inner workings of the child and trying to create them in some image that perhaps the parents never intended.
I mean, so my son's class goes every other week to the counselor's little therapy session. And this week, the focus was, or maybe it was last week, the focus was your special talents. And the assignment was, now, my son's in fourth grade. The assignment was to color a little package, this, you know, like a box with a bow, and write your special talent on the back. So for a fourth grader, that's what they were spending time doing instead of learning to read, do math, science, write in cursive, you know, whatever it may be, they were coloring.
Well, that sounds like some of the art therapy that you did in the treatment center where I used to work. And I know you point out in here that Abigail Schreier says that much of what we're looking at with SEL is really unlicensed therapy.
Yes.
Well, I got to leave it there, my friend. But hey, the next round of the Controversial Mom podcast comes out this weekend. Am I correct?
I defer to JP on that one. I don't know. I send my content. He works the magic.
Okay. Between the two of you, we got a new podcast coming out Sunday. How about that? All right, you guys.
I'll record it and send it in. So,
Emily, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. That's Emily Jones, host of the Controversial Mom podcast, as part of the Right Side Media family here. Check them out, rightsidemedia.org. She's awesome. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.